We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to the PHNX Suns podcast brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one sportsbook app. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, and leave us a five-star review. I'm Lindsay Smith, here with Espo, Gerald Bourget, and a special guest, one of the newest members of the Phoenix Suns, Jacqueline Dale. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Were you worried they were going to confuse him for Saul? You had to make sure to get it out of the way first.
No, it's just he's the special guest, so that's the first thing you say, right?
Make sure. If you don't want to introduce me next time, all you got to do is say so.
Right, as well? Jeez.
Well, we promoted it enough. I think they know.
Tell, this show is very chill, and we get a little spicy with one another. So feel like free to throw some shade.
I like it. I will be for sure.
Just don't at Lindsay. She gets a little, she fights back. So
this is true. So thank you so much for joining us today. We're just going to spend a little bit of time. We wanted to, be conversational, but we're obviously going to ask you a boatload of questions. So I hope you came prepared for that. And of course, chat, if you guys have any specific questions you want Jacques to answer, feel free to drop them in the chat as well. I think, though, we should start with maybe some lighthearted, get to know you type questions.
Let's do it.
The easy ones, right?
Let's
we'll throw you some lobs.
Yep.
Do you have a nickname?
Oh, well,
that wasn't a lot.
A cleaner way, yes, I do. My friends back home have a bad nickname that I won't say on air. But the guys just started throwing around young jock at the facility today. So,
okay.
I don't know if that'll stick. Maybe it will. But that'd be it.
How do you feel about it?
I'm cool with it. I'm cool. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't really know who Young Jock was until I got to America.
Yeah.
So
fair.
No disrespect to him, but I haven't really listened to his music or anything yet, so maybe I need to do that soon.
I'm just glad you knew it was a musician, so you didn't call CP3 old CP3. Like, think it was something going on around the facility. So.
No, I'm a bit more switched on girls a little bit.
I'm not. I'm the cool one here. So have you picked your number? 34 is retired here. Have you picked one?
I know. That was a talking point for a while in my group chat back home, but settled on 11. Okay. Gonna try that out for the year, see what happens. I wanted 13, but
right, yeah, Steve Nash, I guess, kind of complicates that.
So actually, I ran through like six numbers, and I was like, I want this, and it was just like retired, and I was like, dude, what is going on? So,
can you give me a list of the ones that are available, maybe, to choose from then?
11.
Any meaning to 11, or did you just get to a point where you're like, yeah, two ones, that'll work?
There are 11 mates in my group chat.
Nice.
So we did 11.
I really like that.
Nice tribute.
Yeah.
Everyone's saying 11's a good number, so.
There we go.
I'm waiting for the slander. I can't see it yet, but just shout out when someone says something. Right off the roof of the
shorts. Do you prefer playing at home or on the road?
I prefer playing on the road traditionally. For whatever reason, I always have better games on the road. I think it's probably got something to do with kind of being in a hotel, locked in your own world kind of thing. When you're at home, you got friends around, you got all that stuff going on. So I definitely always play better in, you know, Olympic campaigns and World Cups on the road. Mm-hmm. I need to turn that around and obviously have some good home court games. But yeah, I definitely prefer to play on the road. Plus, there's nothing better than like pissing off like an away team and like seeing the fans kind of like go silent. So yeah, definitely that.
How much of a trash talker are you on the road?
Not like a huge trash talker. I think I more just like kind of like will get up and about and kind of in your face, but I'm not going to be like talking dribble to you. I'm not quick enough on my feet for that. So I'd probably just get outdone like verbally in like 1 second. So nah, I'm not too much of a trash talker.
Okay, I see.
But I get the vibe that like I know for a fact that a lot of the guys on Phoenix are trash talkers. So yes, maybe they'll work it into my repertoire this year. Who knows?
Speaking of trash talk, the chat's in. They're saying, Jack, your mustache much better than our producer Shane's mustache. So they're already in on it.
I would agree with that. I'm not biased or anything. I would just agree with that.
Sorry, Shane.
Sorry, Shane.
Hilarious. Okay, favorite NBA player of all time.
All time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would say I'm going to be biased to Australians here, but there was a guy by the name of Dave Anderson back in the day, played for the Rockets, played at one or two other teams, and he's a good mate of mine. He's probably the most chilled dude you'll ever meet in your life. And like somehow swindles me into like going out for, like if we have a bus leaving for a game, because I played with him my last year in Australia. We had a bus leaving for a game at say 4 o'clock. He'd be like, oh, let's go get a coffee at 3:45 and like sit down, and he'd be like smoking a cigar before the game. And I was like, I love your vibe, but like we should not be doing this. So DA or Bogut. Like Bogues has been a mentor for me for years, and he's a great fella. Rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but I love him. I like his vibe. He's very real and honest, and I think that, you know, you need a lot of that. So definitely one of those two.
Okay. Do you realize you're actually the third Australian center the Suns have had? Luke Longley, Aaron Baines, and now you.
I know.
Yeah.
Whereas at least it's not the Spurs where they've had like seven.
That's true.
I'm growing higher and higher in the ranks. Yeah.
Well, you'll become the favorite real quick. Don't worry. I want to know, you got a favorite food?
I love sushi. Okay. These are lighthearted questions. I'm liking this. I love sushi. I would say apart from that, yeah, not like I just enjoy food in general. So yeah, just go with sushi.
I shouldn't say this, but before the show, Lindsay was besmirching Vegemite. Do you like
I'm
Vegemite?
Sorry.
Or? I love Vegemite.
I know. My best friend is Australian, and she tried. We lived together for like 3 years, and she tried so hard to convince me, and I just cannot. I can't.
Does she do like butter on a piece of toast and then just a Vegemite. Little bit?
I think maybe like she did too much. Yeah. I don't know, but.
Everyone messes it up. They think it's like strawberry jam or something. You just like lather it on.
Not that thick. She didn't give me it that thick, but yeah. She did the butter and the toast. And I'm just like, okay. It's just not for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's all right. You can hold it against you, right?
You can. It's fine.
She probably didn't want me to say that.
I've come across so many people that hate it. I'm just like, oh, whatever.
I feel like it's one of those things. It's the same way, though, like when you start drinking a certain type of craft beer, right? You have to acquire a taste for it if you didn't grow up with it. Yeah. It's just one of those things.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind of what I think. When you had your first beer, really strong beer, you loved it instantly. It wasn't a little like.
No, I think it's like genetics through my dad or something.
Let's see.
He was guzzling.
Sorry, I tried. I failed miserably.
All right, since we're on food and drink, I'm Italian and I'm offended by Olive Garden. Do you have the same feelings to Outback?
What do you mean? Wait, what?
There's a restaurant called Outback here that is
Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Never been to it. Never. I don't think I ever will.
That's how I feel as an Italian too. Yeah. With that.
Yeah.
All same.
Yeah.
So we know it's not Young Jock, but who do you listen to before games?
I'm very. I transition through playlists a lot. Mm-hmm. I had a monster phase last year where I was listening to a band called Hilltop Hoods.
Okay.
Aussie band again. I would say that, I mean, obviously like the Drake and stuff, I always kind of throw that around. AC/DC is another one that I like. Mm-hmm. I move through a lot. And then there's like, you know, there's like EDM type music I move through, but like I couldn't tell you who they are. I just kind of like the song and never even bothered to see who the artist is. So yeah, I chop and change a lot.
At a certain point, I feel like the EDM sounds kind of the same after a while.
Yes. 100%.
Hey now. Hey.
EDM might, fan?
No, but you might piss off some people. No. I do like EDM and certain things, but Shane will be mad at you for saying that, fair Gerald.
Yeah, you can live through the stash trash talk. I love that our chat like knows no Aussie groups. They're like, men at work. Come on, guys. Put in some effort here.
You got to be better than that. ACDC is Australian. Not many people actually know that.
Yeah.
Check out Hilltop Hoods though; they're great. They're really good.
Our chat so far, I think they have fallen in love with you. So, in the 11 minutes that you have been on the show with us, I think I've seen more comments from people being like, "He's my new fave. He's gonna fit in. I love this guy."
Wait until I stop being a dickhead.
I think that'll actually make it even better for them. I think they'll love you more.
Let's not pump them up too. They said that about Dwayne Washington Jr. when he was here yesterday too. So
Dwayne's a good guy though. So I like Dwayne as well.
Yeah. All right. Are you an Instagram or a Twitter guy more?
I like Instagram a lot more. I like the visuals of it, but I do hop on Twitter occasionally and see what's going on in that space. I think it's comical what people come up with on Twitter.
Do you ever clap back?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. My agency tried to tell me to relax on it a few years ago because I was over in Europe and I was so bored. And the fans out there, like, I love them to bits. The Serbian fans were the best, but sometimes they'd just be so irrational and I'd just be like, you know what, like, fuck this, I'm going back at these guys. So at that point they told me to relax, but now it's kind of I really pick my moments with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a guy the other week who was telling me I couldn't say San Fran because the locals call it like Frisco or SF.
Oh yeah.
And I was just like, San Fran it is. Sticking with that. And like, whatever.
Good. We hate Warriors fans around here anyways. So we're good to go there. Xbox or PlayStation?
Not a huge gamer. Okay. I used to play PlayStation though.
Okay. Yeah. Don't let Devin and DA know that you're not much of a gamer.
They're huge gamers?
Oh, they're huge gamers. Okay. Yeah. They faced off in the NBA player tournament for 2K in the finals. They did it during the pandemic when everybody was locked down. So yeah, they played each other in the finals. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're both really good.
All right, this is a tough one. Greatest TV show of all time.
Greatest TV show. What do you mean by that?
Like your favorite or what you think is the
greatest.
Best.
Greatest. I thought you said greatest.
Oh no, sorry. Greatest.
Greatest. I'm a huge fan of Vikings.
It's a good show.
That's a great show. I've also, what else do I get around a lot? Trying to think. Peaky Blinders. I like Game of Thrones, but like it was just so, like, everyone loved Game of Thrones. And then I was like, hey, have you checked out Vikings? And not everyone was like, no, like, this is the bit. And I was like, well, Vikings is my favorite. So one of those two. Probably those two. I know there's another one. I just can't think of it right now. Vikings is definitely like up there.
Vikings was a good one. I heard though that because when I watched it was during the pandemic, and I heard here in the States they like kind of dumbed down the violence a little bit, so it wasn't quite
That's
as
tragic.
Good. Yeah.
The early seasons where there was like the most gruesome and brutal were the best. Yeah. Like, that was crazy.
That seems counterintuitive. In the United States, they dumbed down the violence.
It did seem kind of
Let's
odd.
Let's not get into that talk. Don't do that right now.
It's probably a good
Don't
idea.
Do that. I'm Australian. Stay
He's
out
like,
of
leave
that.
Me out of this, please, and thank you.
Yeah.
We do have a question from the chat. They want to know if you have any pets.
Pets?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a dog, a golden retriever. Her name is Navy, and all Americans think I'm saying like Navy or something, just like the color Navy, mm-hmm. or like the military Navy. So we got her. We got her at the start of the year. I think we want to get another one because your backyards here in Phoenix are bigger than the house, as I was saying before. So yeah, we're looking to get another dog. I think we want to rescue one, but we've got to go in and figure that out. So hopefully in the next month or two, we'll have a second pup.
Yep. Nice.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we get into a little bit more of your backstory? Don't worry. We'll come back to it. We'll wrap up with some of that too. But I know Gerald specifically really wants to know some things about you.
Yeah. So I was kind of fascinated when I was, reading and listening to some of your interviews in the past that you actually didn't start playing basketball till you were 14. Is that true?
So I did. I did camps, like kids camps, like when you as a kid and you're trying to discover what you want to do and blah, blah, blah. I was like, my parents threw me into basketball for no reason. We have no history of basketball in our family. Nobody in our family is really that tall, nothing. So they were just like, you should try it out. And I used to hate it. Like I used to kick and scream and be like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. Because I just wanted to play football, AFL football, the local sport back in Australia. I wanted to do that with my mates and play a little bit of cricket as well. But I had no interest in basketball. So I went to boarding school and they didn't have a high school team. So in Australia, we don't have like high school basketball. It's not a thing. There is, but it's like, it's terrible.
Right.
So I didn't actually start playing proper basketball until 14. Like I did a camp or two when I was younger, but like didn't really like ever take it and play like, games and stuff until I was kind of 14.
Okay.
Might have even been 15. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was one of those, it was around that age, my sophomore year in high school. So yeah, kind of like started late. So our freshman year, the high school I went to was kind of crazy. So our freshman year of high school, we have a campus that's up on the side of a mountain in like the wilderness in Australia.
Okay.
And you're put into units of like 12 people, and a unit's like a hut.
Sure.
And there's no sports at that level of school. It's just you're literally up on that mountain, like cutting wood to heat the water for your hut. Like that's what we're doing. So we had 12 guys and we would rotate through a job list. Now, one of them was, you had the week off, which was the best. Then you had like unit leader. You had a guy who had to go out and cut firewood, bring it back to the hut. And then you'd have a guy who'd get up every morning at 3 a.m. and like stoke what we call a boiler. So you just kind of put like wood and light it up and heat up this water that then feeds the showers 3 hours later. So if you're on that boiler duty, you are up every morning at 3 a.m. heating all the water up. So I was out there doing that for my freshman year, and I was like fat when I first got there. And then that's where I learned to love physical activity because, and this is kind of how the basketball thing, spawned is we would hike in the first, so we were doing terms out there, not semesters, but we would hike once a week over the weekend from, it'd go up to like 3 days, kind of like, probably like 40, 50 miles. And then by the end of the year, we were hiking 6 days for like 120 miles or something like that.
Oh my God.
And so it was like our weeks were kind of like the whole idea is they want to teach you how to like love physical activity and be independent, work within a team at the same time. Mm. You can't have phones. You can't have computers. Like you shut off from the world on the side of this fucking mountain, just like fending for yourself. They do, they give you food and you're not hunting and stuff, right. But like, you're like up there and then your first term and your second and your fourth term, you're running twice a week. One of them's like a short run, which is like probably like 2 miles tops. Other one's a long run, which kind of works its way up to probably like 6-7 miles. And as you progress through the year, you do 3 runs in the second and third term a week. And by the end of the year, you run a half marathon up and down a mountain. And it's it's crazy. So that was like the year that I just like shed all this weight. And I was like, and that's when I kind of like started to hit puberty and like have these crazy growth spurts. And I was like, shit, I'm pretty big. I got to do something with this height. So then that we were like, what about basketball? We'll try that again. We tried footy as well. But like within the matter of like 3 weeks, I tried rowing, footy and basketball and like hated rowing, like cut my hands up. And I was like, I'm never doing that shit again. First time I was like rowing, like 5 minutes into the row, I dropped the oar and I said, get me out of this boat. I'm done. Then footy, I loved, but I was just like, it just wasn't for me. Like, and I'm thankful for that because I'm just too tall for it. Mm-hmm. And then basketball was the one we settled on, and that's worked out pretty well.
So so if somebody complains about training camp, do you just laugh? You're like, I was on the side of a mountain literally carrying wood. Like, shut up about training camp.
Nah, because like my body hurts as well these days. So, yeah. But like training camp in the NBA ain't that bad compared to what we do out in like what I did out in Europe. Like Europe is a bloodbath. It's like two practices a day, 3 to 4 hours sometimes. It's just like per session, it's crazy. So, like I definitely like have relaxed into this a little bit and found it's like a lot better, but they do such a good job in the NBA of like giving you that leniency to like, okay, training camp's training camp, but you have a lot left in the tank to go work on your game like by yourself. So like I think that they're miles ahead in that regard, you know.
So I've heard that you have kind of an interesting story about a time that you broke your wrist, and then
that was the year. Yeah, so that's when we when we decided to play basketball. So the end of the third term. So the third term, you cross-country ski. You learn to cross-country ski because, you know, the mountain we're living on and all the mountains around you are covered in snow. So you're living in the snow at that point. And there's one of our best ski resort mountains in Australia is Mount Buller. And it's – so I'm on Mount Timbertop, and then the next one across is Mount Buller.
Okay.
And so we would just take a bus out of the school down the mountain, head up to Mount Buller. And the last, my mum loves this story because she thinks it's like the best thing ever. But she's, so the last week, the last ski session in the last like 20 minutes, we're literally coming down the easiest run on the mountain. And it's this icy day because we don't really get powder like America and Europe and stuff. It's just majority of it's ice and sleet. Mm-hmm. We're coming down and there's just like fog everywhere and there's a huge boulder of ice just in the middle of the runway, and I just clipped an edge on it and like turned around going back down behind. Ooh. And I fell back and my pole got caught between my wrist and my bone and just like, ooh, it hurt, and I went to push off to like get up and my arm just kind of caved and my bone came out. So like fully just like compound. Oh, actually it wasn't compound, but my arm was like at like an angle.
Oh, your mother loves this story.
Yeah, because she was like apparently on her phone to her friends, like, I'm so thankful, like, you know, we've gotten through ski season without any, because she had a bunch of ski injuries. Got through ski season, and then like 20 minutes later gets a phone, hey, your son's like cooked his arm, he's gonna have to come home and get surgery, blah blah blah. So I ended up going back they put me in a cast, they kind of like realigned my bones. I went back 6 weeks later, got an x-ray, and they were like, yeah, your wrist is like screwed up. Like you're going to end up like this, and it's just kind of all going to seize up if we don't realign it. Mm. So I had to go, and after 6 weeks of like setting this thing in a cast, I had to go back into hospital and they rebroke it and then put a plate and screws in it. And then that was another like 4 weeks after that before I could like really like go back to the school. So in those 4 weeks, they lined up with the Geelong Supercats doing their trials. And so I just popped in and said g'day to Rod Boone, who unfortunately he was one of my first real coaches. He passed away this year, so rest in peace to him. But he was the one who was like, hey, let's take this guy on and give him a real chance at like the top level of my age group. Like I'd never really like played before, and he was like, let's do it. Like you look like you got potential, give it a crack. So he really opened up the door for me for basketball, and that kind of I walked in onto the court with a broken arm, and he was like, yeah, you look athletic, like we'll give you a go. And that's kind of how it started.
So very if your cool. mother never jinxed you and caused you a broken wrist, you wouldn't be in basketball.
God damn it, mom.
Okay, I have to go back to the school thing, because it sounds kind of like wild but also enjoyable at the same time. Did you love
it
or did you hate it?
I loved it.
Okay.
I'm real outdoorsy, you know, with the background of the farm and all that. I love being out outside and doing that kind of stuff. And I learned to love, initially when I was like unfit, it sucks. Mm-hmm. But once you got fit and you got through that whole like, oh, this is so hard phase, it was like the best. So, yeah, it's really hard, but at the end of the day, you're living like in the wilderness with like your best mates, and like the stuff that we got up to was so ridiculous, but like it's just so much fun.
I mean, I'm just saying, like going skiing like for school sounds pretty dope. Pretty sweet. I'm not gonna lie.
It's pretty sweet.
Forget Young Jock. I think they should call you the Mountain.
The Mountain.
I think that, you know, based on everything.
That's taken up with by somebody else.
We can call you Mountain Man.
We can do better than that. Yeah. We'll work with it though.
I love how polite you were. That sucks is fine answer to me. You can say that. No.
Well, I know that part of your journey has been the chip that you carry on your shoulder from not being drafted and from having to work on your game overseas. I'm kind of curious what went into this process of, okay, I'm going to play overseas and these are the aspects of my game that I need to work on so that I can prove these NBA teams wrong that all passed on me.
That's a great question. So Dave Anderson, the guy I was talking about, had a little bit to do with this as well. Mm-hmm. So just not being like the most athletic guy in the world is a polite way of saying it, I guess. Like I knew that trying to keep up with these guys athletically and coming up through the G League or something wasn't going to work for me. Like I needed to break the game down more and learn how to outthink guys and outsmart players on the court and just read the game at the best level possible, because I knew that was pretty much my only and best chance of making it at this level. I knew I had the fundamentals of like what it would take to succeed in Europe as well. I knew I had a shot before anyone else did, and just kind of the post progression and the post play that I had, I knew translated really well to Europe as well. I didn't realize that I could like run the floor like I could, and I could be as elite offensively in a pick and roll situation as I discovered once I got out to Europe. But when I kind of got under the tutelage of Andrea Trinchieri, who's one of the best coaches in Europe in my opinion, he really like focused and honed that craft of understanding how to like think the game. So that really helped me, and that was kind of my thought process. I didn't realize I was going to be lucky enough to play with play for such a legend in Europe, and really have one of the best coaches in Europe kind of teaching me how to do what I was setting out to do. But I understood that like going to the G League and trying to, you know, keep up with those athletes and stuff wasn't going to work out for me. I also think that there was a toughness that I thought that I needed to get, and I wasn't sure I was going to get it here. So Europe really kind of drove, like just from what I'd heard about Europe, that really drove my decision-making going there. But yeah, it was the gameplay. Like I just knew that I had to learn the game, and I knew that like everything out there is on such a string that like you really understand the fundamentals of basketball and understand how, you know, the ball's meant to carry itself around the court and how defensive schemes meant to work. And it's like, it's so hard to score out there that like, I knew that was going to benefit me as well, because like once you get and I really felt that between the first summer league I had and the second one, because the first one I had like 2 points a game and I came back that second one and I was averaging 20 and I was just like, but it doesn't even like the stats didn't even really matter. It was more just like, wow, there's so much more space on this court than I realized. Like last time I felt like swallowed by like, just it felt like I had nothing to do. It's because I was frantic. But then coming from Europe, I built up a lot of confidence as I knew that like I was really good out there. And it just felt like the whole game slowed down and I was like, holy shit, there's so much space for me to operate here. Like you're not dealing with like the tight defensive schemes you are in Europe and how people kind of operate out there. So that really, really helped me. And yeah, I can honestly say I wouldn't be here had I not chosen to go to Europe.
At what point did you realize you had to kind of stretch your game, go up beyond New York and start hitting some of those shots as well?
Probably when I like didn't dunk on anyone for like 4 years in college. I kind of, when I got to college, they, you know, St. Mary's does a lot of shooting and I knew that I had that in my game, and that was kind of when the transition to the three-point line like really started to come into play. So my coach was always saying to me, like, we've got to get you to start thinking like a four man in college, like, because you're probably not going to be a five in the pros. Now, for the most part, I'm still a five because, like, there is a huge advantage to being able to shoot it like I do. So that's kind of worked out for the best for me. But, yeah, like, you know, Coach Bennett was really good at just being like, yeah, we got to get you to shoot at a high clip. And, like, at that time, I wasn't really thinking too far ahead because I was just so engulfed by what we were doing in college, and that's kind of the way it is when you're there. But, like, I really feel like he had more of a long-term plan going forward, which, like, you don't really realize until you get out and you're like, oh, crap, that's what he was saying, you know?
Yeah.
Another guy, Marty Clark, one of the Australian assistant coaches at St. Mary's, was always telling me that stuff as well. He was like, you're going to have to stretch the floor when you become a pro. So, like, let's just hone that craft behind the scenes. That's a lot different shooting in practice versus shooting in games. But, like, there was a kind of like a base of understanding that, like, all right, I can shoot the ball. Like, now I just got to go do it when I get to the pros. And I got to Serbia, and I, like, my first three games, like, didn't miss a three, and then everyone's like, oh, this guy's a shooter, like, let's just get him shooting threes the whole time. And then that's kind of where the transition, like, really happened, and I just started pinging threes.
What kind of, for those of us who don't play at a professional level, what
you guys don't?
Yeah, well, I mean, I tried, but
I did for a short time, but it's
still waiting on my 10-day, but for those of us who don't kind of understand how much work goes into perfecting even something like that, like a three-point shot, like, can you paint a picture of us of how you go about just becoming that much more comfortable as a three-point shooter and the work that goes into it?
I'm not going to have, like, any secret to it. It's honest to God, it's just, like, repetition day after day. Figuring out, I like to figure out where and how I'm going to get my shots on the team I'm on, and then just hone that craft. So, for the most part, I really try and, like, fit into the system, because it's like, that's where you're going to get most of your shots, so you might as well be good at that year. And then it kind of all just, like, you know, compiles, and you just gradually get better and better as a shooter in general. But, like, you know, at Zalgiris, my second team in Europe, that was my toughest year shooting, because they were running me off pin downs as a five, and that was, like, hectic. But I loved it. Like, it's just such a different aspect of the game. So I wasn't used to it when I got there. But then when I got to Melbourne, I was like, hey, like, you should run me off some pin downs. Like, it's fun. Yeah. And in Melbourne was, like, a lot more. Our coach out there, Dean Vickerman, was so great at, like, having the players have their say, like, hey, what are you comfortable with and how do you want to get your shots? And I was like, hey, give me that thing off some pin downs and I'll pocket it. So, started to implement, like, more pin down stuff more throughout those 2 years, and then I got comfortable shooting off pin downs. So that kind of stuff is just, like, I just try and take, like, a new little facet from each team that I'm on and add that to, like, my repertoire shooting from three. The transition to, like, that, those extra couple, inches, feet, whatever it is, you know, those, that step out this year was intense as well, because, like, you don't realize how much harder it is to shoot from literally one step, like, further back. So that transition took a little bit of time for, like, I was going in there and I was just, like, throwing the thing at the rim, just trying to get it there for the first, like, 3 months. And then I kind of, like, gradually, by the time I started actually playing at the Spurs, like, I was shooting at a high clip. So, yeah, it's just, like, transitioning into new stuff each year. And that's kind of, you know, that's how I get better, is just by adding a piece every year. You know, I think Dirk talks about it a lot, is just, like, the 1%, you know, adding one more thing each off season. So that's what I try and do, but I base it on the team I'm at and how they're going to operate with me, because there's no point in me going and, like, practicing a step back if, like, the team's going to be like, hey, what the fuck are you doing? You know, so that's how I operate. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Suns and kind of what have they shared with you, really, what they're expecting from you or what your role might look like with them, or do you have an idea in your head on what that might be?
The cliche is, like, I'm just going to do whatever they ask me to. I don't you know, it's still early days. I got here like a week ago. So like the conversations have really just started happening. But yeah, it's going to be talking to Mark Bryant, who's my guy at the Suns. He's a legend. You know, he's talking to me about, they're going to have me operating up from the top of the key and kind of facilitating and shooting threes based off of that. The thing that I look forward to the most is, like, there are so many lethal scorers on this Suns team because they're a championship contending team. I should say we are a championship contending team, that it's like there's just going to be so much room because everyone's going to be focused on Book and CP and all those guys, that like it'll just leave a lot more room for me to kind of operate out of pick and pop situations and you know, be able to do stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I'll be in the mix. There's a lot of bigs right now, but I think that there'll definitely be an opportunity there somewhere where I can just you know, go out there and help, because there's not you know, Dario runs the four a little bit more, but there's not really a five that has like a skill set that I do in Bismack and DeAndre Ayton. So I think it'll kind of come through shooting threes, and then, you know, I just got to be the best I can be on the defensive end, because I know that they value that really, really highly here. So the rebounding will take care of itself. I just try and go for everything like a madman, but yeah, everything else will. That's kind of how I perceive myself slotting in, is just being a guy that can really spread the floor out and you know, hopefully give those other guys more opportunity to operate a bit more freely without having, you know, Rudy Gobert or something like that sitting in the paint.
Right.
So Brian in the chat asked me very nicely. He said, please ask him about what the Spurs and the rest of the NBA feels about the Suns. Before you actually became a Sun and like really looked into it, what was kind of like the perception of them around the league, or since that you noticed anyway? Or was there really any from your perspective?
They're pretty good. Like that was kind of the perception. You know, they're really in your face. You know, we felt their presence every time we went and played here in Phoenix, or they came to our town. The physicality is an underrated one. Like, I came out of those Suns games being like, damn, these guys are like, they'd bang you up every game. So that was my biggest take on it. I mean, Bismack had a huge part to do with that. I think I copped like two elbows from him in the face that game. But yeah, you know, it was just, you know, their offense and their defense is so tight and sharp that it was just like, it's a bit of a headache playing against a team like that, because in the realm of the NBA where things are usually so free moving and a little bit more relaxed, these guys are like, they're solid on everything they do. So you knew going in you were going to have a tough night competing against them, because they were tight in all their fundamentals and their defensive coverages were great. Yeah, you know, we came to town and we were kind of hurting them with the pick and pop, and then they went small ball 1-5, and it was just like, holy crap, these guys got so many different options. So that's where I felt that they were a cut above the rest, is that they just have so many different ways in which they can hurt you, and I'm excited to be a part of it, yeah.
You played, somebody in the chat asked this, but I wanted to.
Any slander yet?
No.
Nothing.
No. Nothing.
Hey, screw you guys, man.
Somebody in the chat brought this up, but I wanted to ask it too. You played for Greg Popovich, and there's a.
Who?
Coach Popovich.
Okay.
So there's a perception.
Popovich.
Thanks. Yeah, that's true. I slurred it. Sorry. God, now the slander.
There it goes.
He's like having salt here. But there's a perception of Coach Pop in that, you know, he can be testy. I've always found him very entertaining in covering him. What was it like to play for Coach Pop?
Awesome. I feel like I can't do it justice anymore because so many guys come out and say what it is. But, like, the basketball mind that he has is so sharp, and just, like, being my first NBA head coach, I was like, holy crap, like, this guy's unbelievable. And down the stretch at the end of the season, when we were like, we really hit our straps and we're like, all right, we're going to make playoffs, like, that's our goal, he just like came into his, you know, I don't want to say into his own, but, like, you know, he came alive, and I was like, oh my god, this guy is on a different level. So he's demanding in that, like, you have to keep up with him, you know, and that's tough to do. You know, the sphere being in the NBA, that is, it's fast moving. There's not a whole lot of practice or preparation time. Like, we're learning on the fly as we go through the games. And for me, that's so impressive, is that, like, he doesn't need 4-hour practice to break something down. He's just like, oh yeah, this is what we're going to do. So he's just so sharp and quick on his feet. And like phenomenal in how he approaches the game. But then the part that everyone talks about is he's away from the court stuff that he's doing for the world and for Texas right now, with everything going on out there, is unreal. And his knowledge on just anything and everything, like his knowledge on the political troubles that are going on right now, and then simple stuff like food and wine. Like, you know, he sits at his desk and he studies what we're going to go and eat that week at a team dinner or whatever. So where the hotel's going to be, like he's studying that going into those road trips. So playing for him, it's just like he's got so much stuff going on, but he's so good at all of it. Like, yeah. He's phenomenal.
As you showed by destroying me, it seems like your sarcasm can keep up with his.
Yeah. We took a couple jokes back and forth to get on the same page. Yeah. Once we got on the same page, it was pretty funny. Yeah.
It sounds like you've, throughout your career, have had a good rapport with your coaches. Just kind of, what's your perception of Monty Williams now that you're going to be playing for him?
Me and Monty, we had a conversation for the first time out in Vegas, which is pretty short, just being that it was the middle of a game and he's kind of locking in on what the summer league thing is. But like, I respect that. Like, he wasn't too caught up in catching up with me. He was like, hey, just going to like check out what these guys are doing. We'll catch up when you're in Phoenix. So had a couple conversations with him around the facility, and he sounds like a great guy. Well, you know, we were talking a bit about fishing. Sounds like he likes fishing he with does. His little ranch out in San Antonio area. But you know, like, from what I've picked up thus far and what everyone else has told me, is he's such like a player's coach. He's like one of the guys. So you know, it seems like he has a great relationship with all the players, and I've felt that being there, seeing him interact with other people and then interact with myself as well. He's just seems like a great dude. Obviously sharp-minded as a coach, like, you know, he's getting into that upper echelon now as well, and probably has been for a while. But I'm excited to play for him just because of who he is and how he kind of operates with his players, and you know, hope to get along really well with him, and they're the kind of people you really want to play hard for, are the ones that you get along great with, and you know, I get that vibe from all the players and myself personally right now. So I'm really excited to play for him at the Suns.
I had one last one before we move to our last game, because I'm kind of the film and stats nerd around here.
Yeah,
so, emphasis on nerd.
So as soon as the news broke that the Suns had traded for you, I went through all of your highlights from last year, watched your buckets, your blocks, your what was the other one? Oh, assists. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other parts.
Yeah, there's a lot of other ones. But I'm curious, do you have a favorite kind of highlight from your rookie year? Anything that stands out?
Like just
out.
one play?
Yeah, like one play that you were like, yeah, I'm going to...
Probably the dunk that I had in New Orleans.
Yes. Right here.
He's pulling the clips.
I'm pulling the clips because you dunked on two of them.
Yeah.
Like, that was Jonas and Jackson Hayes that
this
you
This is the thing,
on.
Man, is like everyone shits on me and rags on me for not being athletic.
Mm-hmm.
But I,
that's
like, sometimes
athletic.
I surprise myself with stuff like this. Like, I do have it on if the body's feeling great. Yeah. So, I mean, that was probably one of my favorite. That whole game was a fun, there was a few, I had a great first quarter and then I didn't score the rest of the game. But, that was a fun one. I don't love, I've seen that Cleveland.
One?
I don't love that, man.
The one where, because you got like, fouled from like behind, and I don't even know if you realized you would. Gotten the end
no.
one until
so
after.
I started running up the court and I looked at Bryn Forbes and I was like, was there a foul?
You're right.
Did I make that shot? Like, I was like, sprinting back, yeah. Like, what the hell just happened? But yeah, like I didn't give myself the time to enjoy that, which is really disappointing. But yeah, I suppose that's cool.
Sneaky athleticism is a theme on this team.
Yeah, that Devin wasn't Booker. Athletic, man. I was like grazing that ball above the rim.
It's better than any of us can do. So.
The Pelicans dunk was, though, to be fair.
I like that one.
All right. I say two for two because yesterday we asked Dwayne and I tried to guess what it might be and I got that one right, too. So I'm
nice.
I'm on a roll here.
There you go.
He likes to pat himself on the back.
So. I should have come up with some random ass play. Like the layup I had.
Next time.
Now you know. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to do the whiteboard game. So while you guys get that ready and pass those around, I got to do some ad reads real quick. Mm-hmm. So everyone listening and watching, make sure that you are entering all of our sweepstakes over at GoPHNX right now. We've got one going on with Four Peaks and OGs. So first we'll tell you about Four Peaks. The winner of our Toast of the Month sweepstakes will get a $50 Four Peaks gift card, a PHNX shirt of your choice, and a PHNX annual membership. So go to gophnx.com or click the link in our show notes in order to get entered into the Toast of the Month sweepstakes. But a reminder, in order to enjoy the beer that Four Peaks makes, you have to be 21 years or older. And we ask that you enjoy responsibly. But this $50 Four Peaks gift card, you could use for food and merch at their Tempe Brewery as well. So it's kind of good for the whole fam, really, anybody. And then OGs, of course, the Flavoring Life sweepstakes. One winner will receive three bags of OGs, including the orange creamsicle flavor and tropical flavors, an OGs hat, a PHNX shirt of your choice, and a PHNX annual membership. Again, you can sign up at gophnx.com or click the link in our show notes for more details. Also, you can check out OGs online at ogsbrands.com or on Instagram at ogsbrands. And you can also find their products at your local dispensary, but you must be 21 years or older to purchase. Okay, here's a small disclaimer for this game. If any of these questions or answers are incorrect, it's not my fault. It's Google. Okay.
Lindsay, pulling the curtain back and revealing our research department is literally just searching.
I'm just putting that out there. So the game is Melbourne or Arizona.
Okay.
And then there's some true or false ones at the end because I needed some more questions. Okay. Who has a higher population? Melbourne or Arizona?
Arizona or Phoenix?
Arizona. I did Arizona because I felt like I should have. I don't know. So Arizona or Melbourne?
Probably should have looked up how to spell Melbourne.
You could just put M-E-L. That's okay.
Let me see.
There's an E.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to get it. All right.
Okay, what you guys got?
I said Melbourne.
All right, Jock wins.
Oh, man.
Arizona. So Melbourne has 5.1 million and Arizona has 7.4 million.
You guys went in with a city above a state. Let's just think about that.
Well, the question you should ask is, did you know it was a city or a state? No. That's what you should ask.
Nobody's ever accused us of being all that sharp. Don't worry.
All right. Who had the higher max temperature ever recorded for that area?
Oh,
I'm going to be mad if I got this one wrong.
Okay. Arizona.
I'm going Melbourne.
Okay. You're close, but it is actually Arizona. So Arizona was at 128.
You're close, but you're wrong.
But here's the thing.
You're still an idiot.
Melbourne's highest temperature was 115.5 degrees Fahrenheit. So
you will
not
never
that
catch
far
anyone
off.
Saying 115 Fahrenheit about Melbourne's temperature.
Well, that's why I had to make sure that
no
I said
idea.
It was Fahrenheit.
What is that in degrees Celsius?
I had it, but then I deleted it, so I don't know. But basically,
thank you.
When you got here a week ago?
Yeah.
Okay, so you haven't had a terrible day then yet.
No,
I don't think we've had 113 yet.
Not terrible.
Well, it's been like 107, I think, is the highest.
Yeah.
So hotter than your hottest day here.
115 Fahrenheit is 46 Celsius.
There you go. Right.
That's okay. Pretty hot.
That is pretty hot.
Okay, who loves coffee more?
How the hell are we measuring that?
I have a stat.
Okay, you have a stat.
Don't worry, Gerald. I have an advanced stat.
Wrong.
You guys are wrong. It's Melbourne.
3 for 3.
They have the most cafes per capita.
Oh, okay.
Like, they love coffee. And I even read that you guys are very on point with carrying around a reusable coffee mug as well to reduce some of the weight.
Yeah, actually, we do have a lot of keep cups out there in Melbourne, but... I don't use them, to be honest with you.
You're a coffee guy?
I I was almost going to grab one on the way here. I love it. Okay. Love it. Yeah.
Perfect.
Beer or coffee?
Both.
All right. Together at the same time? No.
Okay. Finish the coffee at 5, start the beer at 5:01.
They'll have to get you out to Four Peaks. They got some good beers.
Okay. Which place has 2 of the top rated waterfalls in their respective countries?
Hang on. We're going to country now and we're not doing Arizona and
no, it's still, it's just out of your entire country, that place has 2 of the top rated waterfalls in the entire country. Listen, I tried my best.
State or city? Think about this one.
I mean,
what? Come on. Are there waterfalls here? Right?
Where are the waterfalls here?
Where are there waterfalls?
It's Grand Falls and Havasu Falls. There's so many waterfalls here, you guys.
I don't leave the city. I'm in the desert. I don't go anywhere else in the state.
You just like, got like 2 huge waterfalls in Melbourne?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I tried to make this as easy on you guys as possible.
I'm over. You haven't missed yet. This is pretty bad.
Okay. Gerald cheated on this one, FYI. Didn't cheat. But who implemented seatbelt laws first? Arizona or Melbourne?
Oh, I actually don't know this one.
I listened to the number of letters you wrote, Gerald. I think I got this one right.
He's cheating, not me.
You guys are all correct. Hey. Melbourne was the very first place in the entire world to implement seatbelt laws.
We're pretty smart.
Yeah.
Can I say Google
that's why he's kicking our ass at this game.
All right, now we have 4 true or false questions.
Okay.
True or false, cutting down a cactus in Arizona is a punishable offense. Okay, go. True. You guys all got it correct. It is a max term in jail for the act is 25 years.
What?
Insanity. You can get up to 25 years in jail for cutting down
a cactus. You know how much I want to let loose right now?
Just go cut one down.
Oh, my God.
Okay, true or false. Until 1966, it was illegal for pubs in Melbourne to be open after 6 p.m.
Wasn't alive in 1966, so I'm going to go with true.
I said false.
It's true.
Yes.
All right. 2 more. True or false? There are wild penguins in Melbourne. What you guys thinking?
I'm not sure about this one.
It's true.
Yeah.
I thought you would have known that one. I've
never seen one.
No, so it's not really real. It's not really, really true.
I think you've
messed
that up.
It's just true on the internet.
I think I'm probably right again.
That's fair. Okay, last one. The Grand Canyon is the most visited national park in the United States.
Just went with whatever the opposite of yours was.
False. It's the 4th most visited.
Damn it.
Really?
Every year, an estimated an estimated 5.9 million people visit the Grand Canyon. So,
what were the 3 ahead of it?
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
I didn't ask those questions.
Sorry, I should have ran this by the research department first.
All right, good job. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed in you guys.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in myself.
I mean,
I performed as well as I expected. So
this is true. Okay, I think we should wrap up with a handful of fan questions because we did have a few people drop some. Are you cool with that?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, Humble Rumble wants to know which NBA player you modeled your game after.
I always loved watching Kevin Love. His ability to stretch the floor and rebound as a undersized 5. So probably him.
Okay. Legend Joey said, "How do you deal with homesickness when moving to the States, knowing your career so far away from home? How do you cope?"
Yeah, that part sucks. I don't really get homesick, I don't think. I definitely hate that I miss out on so many memories with my mates, kind of in this prime period of our lives. Hate being away from my family. Yeah, but, I've exciting times, got a fiance now and kind of, we haven't got a kid on the way yet, but, we're starting our life as a family now. So that's made it a lot easier. But it's it's not easy. It does suck missing out on all that stuff, but it's part of the gig.
Yeah. Josh Hunt asked where's your favorite city to go when playing on the road? And I'm guessing that's NBA.
Yeah. New York. Yeah. I do enjoy New York. That's where, again, we ended up getting engaged in New York. So, New York's cool vibe. I really like what's going on out there.
What's the worst city?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Just gonna throw me in the fire. Right.
we voted all of ours, so don't worry.
Sacramento. It was mine.
Really? Yeah. Well, it's like we don't really like get out and see the cities the time. But the places I haven't really gone out and seen anything are like, you know, Detroit. I haven't really seen anything of Sacramento.
It's like you live there. Most people haven't seen anything in Detroit or Sacramento. Not much to see.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just haven't really been out a whole lot in those kinds of cities. Yeah. More because everyone else will be like, oh, yeah, they're, you know, garbage. Don't even worry about it. So I'm just like, all right.
So blaming everybody else. I like it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like
it.
Yep. William said, who did the most trash talking? And he asked this question when you were talking about playing against the Suns. So basically, who on the Suns did the most trash talking?
Yeah, right. I heard Ish a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually love
he's
that
a,
answer.
He's a chatty guy.
Yeah,
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I heard him a lot. He kind of changed the game on us that game as well. We came in and they started playing small ball lineup. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Ish was up and about that night, and he'll kind of like. Sometimes he doesn't even have to say anything. He'll just kind of like side eye you, like, and you're just like. This fucking guy. Like, Ish I heard a lot. I'll stick with that one.
Okay, that's a good one. And then Torin in the chat said rattlesnakes versus taipans. Have him pick. Laughing face emoji.
Have him pick.
That? Yeah.
Well, rattlesnakes. What you guys got out here, right? And then I think for the most part, taipans are pretty like harmless in Australia. We do have 9 of the 10 most deadly snakes in Australia. And like on my farm, we've got them like everywhere. They're a pest, but those king brown, those brown snakes, all those red belly black snakes are kind of the worst. So I'll run with one of those. I don't really understand the question.
I don't really either. I think sometimes that's the point. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Got me.
Well, thank you so much for joining. The last question that pretty much everybody in the chat said is, when are you coming back? Will you please come back? And can you be a regular? Those were multiple times we had chats.
Let's do
asking
it.
That, so.
I'm happy to. This has been good fun. I appreciate you guys having me on.
I have one other. Our counterparts in Denver, we got a network like this in Denver, are going to Serbia because of Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Can we come visit you in Australia?
Sure.
All right.
Perfect. Come do it.
We did it. All right.
Perfect. I'll leave you out on the farm and let you fend for yourself.
Put you to work.
Take me up the side of that mountain where your high school was. Let's figure it out. I'm down.
You wouldn't last.
Well, I need to lose the weight, so I was hoping I could do that. So.
Oh, my gosh. Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
No worries.
That was a really fun conversation. The chat thanks you as well. They've put a ton of... Honestly, if you're ever feeling down about yourself, go rewatch this and just look at all the comments.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. They hyped you up a lot. They love you and they're happy to have you out here.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Before we say goodbye, 2 more ad reads, just real quick. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code PHNX. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Again, you have to use the promo code PHNX. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And we want you to stay safe and healthy because the new NBA season is just around the corner. COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov/findvaccine for a location near you. We'll see you guys later.
Bye. Ahoy, hoy.
Hey yo, my lifestyle is retro. Tell the Phoenix Metro. Megas in control and he ain't never gonna let go. PHNX though, Lindsey Gerald Espo. Saw him pass the ball, we here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me, y'all always rep the family. Rally in the-
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.